Good morning and welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. We're going to go visit one of my favorite places in the Hudson Valley, Museum Village. And it's over in Monroe, New York. And we should be on the phone with Michael Sossler. Mike, are you there?
Good morning, everybody.
He's the top banana over there. So first, I know there's people that probably do not know who is Museum Village. What is Museum Village? Maybe you can give us an overview first, and we'll get into the details.
That's a good question, and it is unbelievably true to me that there are many people who don't know what Museum Village is. But Museum Village, located at 1010 Route 17M in Monroe, New York, is a 19th century living history museum. We are basically covering the periods from about 1850 to through 1910, 1920. So if you're looking through a history sort of perspective, we cover from the Civil War right on up through World War I. We are a, as I say, living history where we have a village here. And on the village, there are over 20 buildings. And those 20 buildings include everything from a one-room schoolhouse to a log cabin to a general store to a drugstore. I think you get sort of the idea of what we are.
Yep. It's an amazing thing. And who founded it, and how did it get started?
The museum was founded by a gentleman by the name of Roscoe W. Smith. And the interesting thing about Roscoe Smith, again, for the local people who want to understand history, he's the gentleman who founded Orange and Rockland Utilities Company. Roscoe, during his time, was a very generous man. He was also what we would consider today, maybe, a hoarder. He collected. He collected and collected, and he gathered, so many pieces of history. And then in 1950, what he wanted to do, giving back to the community, giving back to the Hudson Valley per se, he created this museum. And the museum's original name is called Museum Village now, but originally it was called Old Museum Village from Smith's Clove. And the reason for that was he put the museum, which he donated, on his family farm, the Smith's Clove. We are right now about 27, 28 acres of property. And again, this is where the village is. So he foresaw that he wanted to give back to the community, and he wanted to preserve history for the school children. Primarily, that's what we cater to, families from ages, 2 on up to 12, 13. But we've got many, many different age groups coming here for many different events. But the idea is you are learning a different era of time.
Yeah, it is really stepping back in time. It's set up as a village around, what do they call those, the walks that are like...
one of the greatest aspects of the museum is our village green. And just being able to come here, and it's an oval, and you're able to walk, as I say, going to each one of the buildings. You're walking around the village green, and it's just a beautiful time. You're coming back. One of our little things that says when you come into the entrance to our gift shop there is you're stepping back in time.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you feel like.
Are the kinds of shops you're going to see when you walk around the green?
You come around the green, you're going to stop off at the blacksmith shop and see the blacksmith panging away. You're going to stop and you're going to make a candle. I mean, some of the things that people remember, and we've had, visitors come back and said, oh my goodness, I was there in 1960 and I remember making a candle. And they did. They made a candle. You're going to stop and see our broom maker make a broom. You're going to sit at the one-room schoolhouse and see what the teachers were like back then. You're going to go to our print shop. So it just goes on and on. You're going to go to our log cabin. The log cabin is just a tiny little building, and you're going to see again what people lived like then.
Yeah, that's a terrific experience. And a lot of people can't relate to any. They haven't lived through
this. This is the time before the iPad and before the instantaneous gratification is what we have in today's society.
Yeah. Now you've got within these buildings, you've got all kinds of different collections.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your collections.
Each one of these buildings, I like to say, is like a mini museum unto itself. We have, thank goodness, we had a federal grant back in 19... No, I'm sorry, 2011, 2012, we had a federal grant which allowed us to count and inventory all of our artifacts. We have over 27,000 artifacts.
Wow.
So each of the buildings, if you're really into it, you know, it's a mini museum. So you're, when you go into our drugstore, you can spend more than a half hour to an hour just looking through, if that is your interest, you know, what we have in there. The same thing with any of the other buildings. So if you go into our general store, you're going to look like what the shop was back in the 1800s, late 1800s, and you could sit there and just mesmerize at what the artifacts are.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
You know, and each, we try to change our exhibits on some occasions. So, you know, one day you're going to come to the general store, and right now I think we have a great little exhibit on typewriters.
Oh,
typewriters.
Really?
Do people even remember what typewriters are the day before, you know, using the computer for Word instead, and you use the typewriters, and not just the Word Selectric typewriters that maybe you and I used when we were kids, but the ones before that even.
Yeah. So the collections are by building, and you have a natural history building that has a mastodon, don't you?
Oh, my goodness. That's one of our most unique artifacts. As I said, Roscoe collected such a wide range of his artifacts, and one of the most unique is that we have in our natural history building, not only do we have Harry, and Harry was dug up in 1952 about 2.5 miles from the museum in Harriman, New York, hence his name Harry. Harry is one of the three most complete mastodon skeletons in the world, the other two being one in Germany and one in New York City. So just seeing Harry enough is well worth the price of admission.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what I found was interesting, too? Back in the old days, they used to make artwork, and they'd use, like, pieces of hair, a feather, different interesting, you know, natural objects that went into it. Beautiful art. I mean,
sure.
There was some great. I never saw those things before. They're really interesting. And you had that. Tell them you've got Hamiltonian's headstone. Maybe tell everybody
about
that.
Wow, you remember that? Yes.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Again, just to show you the wide range of what he has collected, we actually have the gravestone, the headstone of Hamiltonian, probably the world's most famous racehorse, and we have that here. I mean, who would expect that? You know, some of the stories of Roscoe, in his generosity, is that, you know, he would barter in the beginning. So when people couldn't pay their electric bill, he would say, oh, I'll take that maybe.
Oh,
or
really?
I'll take this. So that was some of the
good
tricks,
idea.
And maybe that's how he, you know, gained such a wide range of his artifacts. Because, again, it is a wide range. I mean, we have, going into our farm tools building, which is another great building, but when you go inside, you will see the remnants of the American chestnut tree.
Oh,
the American chestnut tree is now extinct. But, you know, that's a magnificent sight just to see what those trees were like. So, again, so he collected, you know, Hamiltonian's grave. He collected the mastodon, and he collected these trees. So it's just a wide range of information.
And by the way, Hamiltonian, they said every thoroughbred that's the winner has some kind of Hamiltonian blood in them. So,
it's amazing how he goes so far back.
Yeah. Yeah, they in Goshen, they used to, the farmers used to bring their horses and race down the main street, and that's how everything got started. Then, of course, later they built the track over there and everything else. But Hamiltonian was so amazing that really everybody wanted to use him as a stud with everything. But
it's pretty
that's
crazy.
Good.
Yes.
You got Tammany Hall, too, pieces of history are very unique.
And again, our energy building isn't always open, and I apologize for that, but that's an ongoing exhibit. It is open many times, but because of the magnificent size of that exhibit and the number of pieces in there, we do have to be careful. But yes, we've got, you know, that is probably the epitome of the collection for the museum, because what Roscoe wanted to do, he wanted to show the people the change from the farming era into the world of technology. Mm-hmm. And that building shows that from manpower on up to gas power and everything like that. So it's a pretty amazing exhibit.
And that's your newest, is that one of your newer exhibits, I would think, the energy building?
Well, again, you know, new is relative because we can't really, say new, all of the artifacts that we have, but we do change around enough stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it is. So that building is just revamped so people can see that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's a big push now, believe it or not, that people are pushing back on the technology aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking
mm-hmm.
to go simpler. They're looking to go back. They're seeing now that there's more tumors for brains that are coming out of cell phones and pads mm-hmm. and EMF than there is for smoking. I mean, they want life simpler and cleaner and nicer. Do you do courses or anything like that where people can learn things?
Well, we don't do courses, but what we have is each of our, many of our buildings, I shouldn't say each of them, but many of the buildings are attended by a costumed docent.
There you go.
So they are going to explain to you the way of life back then and how it was different and maybe more peaceful and more quiet. Mm-hmm. It was also a lot of work. Let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank goodness for the technologies, some of the inventions that we have today, even electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So we take some of that stuff for granted. But I think it was a much more relaxed time.
Oh, yeah, and it's
fascinating. I think the stress,
yeah.
I like to say that I think today's generation is the 32nd generation. If they don't get information in 30 seconds, they move on to the next subject. Whereas here, when you come back, you should put your iPhones, keep them in the car.
That's right.
Put any of that information, your technology. You may want to bring your, for photographs, because some of the stuff is amazing to see.
Yeah.
But, it's nice to come here. We have many benches on our green.
Yeah.
So even just sitting down and taking in the trees there, even in the dead of summer when it's maybe 80 degrees outside or whatever, the feel here is so much comfortable.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. And I was very impressed with your gift shop because you have old-fashioned toys, the simpler toys. They are fun to use for the kids, but they, it was nice. It was just a variety.
We try to keep everything that we do here, we try to keep as much as possible period associated. It is difficult, and we do got to keep, people up to date to a certain degree. But, yes, we try to do that.
Yeah, so that's a good place when you go. Everybody should think about buying, you can go buy a couple of toys for Christmas. You can get some extra things, that normally you're not going to see in the other stores. So
that's
it's a
right.
very unique thing. Now, let's go into, first we should mention if somebody comes, should they picnic? Can they eat there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We do have, depending upon the event, and we can talk about some of our events here, many of our events, we do have our snack bar open. So people are able to come in and get snacks, get drinks, ice cream, candy. Depending upon that event, we will be cooking maybe hamburgers, hot dogs, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you so desire, if you just want to bring a picnic lunch, you are more than welcome. There's many tables up at our snack bar. Bring your picnic lunch. Plan on spending a whole day. That's what it's all about. That's what we want you to do. Enjoy yourself the entire day.
Yeah, it's a really relaxing, you can lower your blood pressure real easy.
Absolutely. Good plan, yes.
Each season, too, you have different shrubs that are in bloom and different
yes.
things going on. And my father actually donated a buckboard to to one of, years ago. He had a piece of land that was one of the, had sisters living on it that was one of the oldest in the county. And and it was this old buckboard, so it should be part of the collection somewhere. So it's an interesting place to go and learn about things. You have firefighting equipment too, right? Which
we
is
do,
very
yeah,
unique.
Yeah. Another one of our buildings, of course, is our firehouse. So we do have firefighting equipment from back in the late 1800s. Interesting stuff. Again, when you see what the new fire trucks are like today compared to what the fire trucks and what people had to do then.
Yeah. Now, this is a segue that Each year, at different times of the year, you have special events that are planned. And when somebody comes to one of them, they want to come every year. It's like amazing. So maybe go through a year with some of the things that you do. And then when you happen to know the event for this year, throw that in. And then we could still use the show in the future. We'll just
sure,
have to
sure. We have many different events through the course of the year. You know, the best thing to do, and we can say this in general, is, you know, check out our website. Our website is www.museumvillage.org, or like us on Facebook, because Facebook is where we update a lot of stuff. But we usually have, starting in April and running right through December, many different types of events. And let me just give you a couple highlights of the big ones that we will be having this year. The first weekend in June is our Gem and Mineral Show.
Oh,
if you are into
that.
Yeah, a lot of people come back for that every year.
Yeah.
If you are into gems and minerals and stones and all that kind of stuff, you'll want to see that. There's usually over 70 vendors of different styles. Now, when people do come for that, the museum is closed because it's so busy.
What day is that one?
That is June 2nd and 3rd this year.
Okay.
It's usually the first weekend of June, so you can plan that for every year. Now, this year, we're going to give you the first of one of our new types of events. This year, we are going to have a honey fest. Now, I think this is going to be a very big event. That is going to be on June 10th, Sunday, and we are going to have many different styles of food and many different styles of what the honey can do for you. I mean, there's going to be probably over 50 vendors all providing honey. So that's going to be a unique type of, and that is June 10th this year. So put that on your calendar
you
if you
come
can.
Every weekend. This is now we've got only 4 minutes, so you're going to
okay. So we'll sum up a couple others.
Yeah.
I mean, every year, you know, we've got different types of thing. Another one of ours is our Civil War event.
Oh, yeah.
This year, I think it's our 43rd. Civil War event that's on Labor Day weekend. We've got a Fiesta Latina event.
We have a
No Scare Halloween event. This will be the second year we have a chocolate expo. And one of our other big ones that we say, and this is a free day, we have a Christmas in the Village. This year is December 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
It's free. And we provide, you know, Santa Claus is here. We usually have hay rides. We have performances in our playhouse. And that's another thing that we have on site here, a playhouse. The playhouse is a theater.
Wow.
The theater puts on 4 shows a year. Check that out. That's under Creative Theater, Muddy Waters Players. And the shows there that they put on are phenomenal. So people should take a look at that as well.
Muddy Waters, yep. And I got to say that the Christmas, all these events are really top quality. Do you have dates for the Fiesta Latina and the Chocolate Expo?
Sure do. The Fiesta Latina this year is September 15th.
Okay.
That is also a free event. So people can put that in. Come on down and see that. And our Chocolate Expo this year is on October 21st. That is usually under a gigantic tent, rain or shine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was amazing. We did this last year for the first time. We're putting it on again this year. A very large fun event.
All right, and then a date for Civil War and your Halloween.
Civil War is September 1 and 2.
Okay.
That goes, you know, both it's Saturday and Sunday for the Labor Day weekend. And our No Scare Halloween, which, again, is fun. It's for, you know, the little children, and that's October 13 and 14 this year.
Okay, that's great. Do you do anything for Father's Day, Mother's Day, any of those?
We don't do anything special, but, of course, on those days, mothers are free on Mother's Day. And actually, when I say we don't do anything special, this year we are having Model A Day on Mother's Day, which is a little bit different.
What is it? Model A.
We're going to have
Model A
cars here on Mother's Day. So that's just neat to come on out and walk around. Father's Day this year falls on the Path Through History weekend, and we haven't finalized yet, but there will be something special for that weekend as well.
Do you do any car shows once in a while?
We do. We have a big car show on August 5th. And that car show, I think last year we had over 200 cars.
Wow.
It ranges from old to new. The entire green, the entire inside of the museum was covered with beautiful cars. It's just another great event.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I tell you, you guys are a class act, and I can't hope for more success for you. I think the school groups, you might want to give us a phone number for school groups and senior groups, bus groups.
Our school groups have been phenomenal. Again, that's why they're here today. We are busy and booked every day in May through the middle of June.
Wow.
For anybody needing to contact us, our phone number is 845-782-8247,
yep.
Or you can send an email to Lori Sicardi, who runs our education program, and her email is education@museumvillage.org.
Yeah, that's good. Anybody that's coming with a bus, whether it's a senior group or any kind of group, you want to call ahead on something like that. It's a big group and you have to plan. And you're going to get a guide and all that other stuff, so it's worth doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Mike, thank you very, very much for coming on with us. We're all going to check that website and get all the events and have a wonderful season.
Thanks for inviting me on to air, and thanks, everybody.
You're welcome.
See you soon.
That's a wrap for this week. I hope you check out Museum Village. It's a terrific day out. You'll love it. Good morning. A quick getaway to the Newburgh area. Do you know there's some really, really big sites over there that would be worth your visit? The first is Washington's headquarters, State Historic Site. Washington's headquarters dates way back to the Revolution. It was the longest that George Washington was in one of his sites. And we had the Purple Heart. We had the turning down the crown in the area, you know, because they wanted to make George Washington the king. And we have to thank him for not taking the crown. And tremendous museum there with links that went across the Hudson and all kinds of interesting pieces of history that you would really enjoy. Beautiful grounds, fantastic view of the Hudson River. You'll see the Tower of Victory, which is there. You'll also see one of two copies of the Minuteman, you know, the one that Chester French made, which is very famous. You'll go up into Lexington in that area and you'll see one of them. The other one is at Washington's headquarters, and that's a really famous statue to take a look. They have guides dressed in garb that do wonderful tours, and I think you'll like it. And you can go and, bring a picnic, you know, and eat a sandwich or something. There's actually right across the street, there's great places to eat. So you want to check there. Across the street also, there's some nice little antique shops and other kinds of shops. So that's Washington's headquarters, State Historic Site. That's on Liberty Street in Newburgh. Then back at Broadway, which is just a couple blocks in, is the Carpelese Manuscript Museum. Incredible museum. David Carpelese has like 12 museums all around the country. They have a huge collection of historic manuscripts, and he puts them together to make various traveling exhibitions, and there is always something interesting. I saw the Emancipation Proclamation at one of the things. They had one on John Paul II with all the papal things from him. Very interesting. You always want to check what's going on at the Carpelese. They did a big one on baseball. Also in Newburgh is Downing Park, which is a fantastic site that Andrew Jackson Downing was actually from Newburgh. And you'll see it in a lot of architecture in the Newburgh area. So if you drive around, you'll see a lot of great looking historic houses. And Downing Park was Olmsted and Vaux's after Downing was killed in a steamboat accident where they had a boiler blew up, and he was a hero. He was swimming. He was a good swimmer. He'd go out and he was saving people and, you know, getting them, you know, saving them. And he drowned in saving people and rescuing people. So anyway, his students were Olmsted and Vaux. Now, you know, the garden, the Rose Garden over in the White House and the Smithsonian's grounds and Central Park in New York. These were famous landscape gardeners and designers. And they came together with their sons and they actually designed Downing Park as an homage to Andrew Jackson Downing. So you want to check out Downing Park, beautiful little park, and that's on 9W just before it hits Broadway in Newburgh. Also, You've got an incredible motorcycle museum. And the motorcycle museum was founded by this multimillionaire. Really, the guy was very famous. And you'll see incredible vehicles from all kinds of historic, you know, the motorcade from JFK, and you see Ghost Riders motorcycle. A lot of really interesting stuff. It's a great way to spend some time. So you definitely want to check that out. You also have a variety of places to eat. The waterfront has all kinds of great restaurants, and you name it, you go down. There are river cruises, so you can go out on the River Rose. You can go out. They have tours. And then, of course, you know, there's one that I think they both go south and towards West Point and back. But there's a lot that you can do in the Newburgh area, a lot of good restaurants. And then just outside of town, you'll find, you know, your Sheratons and your hotels if you want to stay overnight. There's a New Hampton Inn there. So you want to check that out. So that's a little quick overview, a little tips for trips, and check out Newburgh. It's a great day trip, and you can also stay and do a couple things over a couple days. Okay, take care. Have a wonderful time. Bye-bye.